I've been asked to speak this morning on the title, Blessed and Persecuted. And that's when I saw that, I thought, okay, well, blessed on one hand and then persecuted on the other hand. And I thought, how can this be? But as we progress on this morning, I've come to realize that God loves us. And we shouldn't be afraid of persecutions. It's God's agenda. It's God's plan. It's God's method of promoting us. But let's look at the scriptures this morning. Mark chapter 10 from verses 17 to 30. Mark chapter 10 from verses 17 to 30. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There is still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." This amazed them. But Jesus said again, "Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." Then Peter began to speak up. "We've given up everything to follow you," he said. "Yes," Jesus replied, "and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person would have eternal life." So I read this with mixed feelings, because you see the good there. You see, I don't want to say the not too good, you know, from the human perspective. Well, the first thing I see here is that we see a man approach Jesus. Many approach Jesus for
favors, and there's nothing wrong in that. For healings, for miracles, that's great. But he came to him for an assessment. He submitted himself for an assessment. And that's, I find that very, very, very good. Not many people will submit themselves for assessments. But he did. And the assessment was all about eternity. At our church in the home this past week, we had discussions around, you know, eternity. A lot of stuff was said. But one of the things that they said there, that our leader there spoke about, was about prioritizing eternity. Talked about, I think it's Luke 10:17, where the disciples went out and came back rejoicing that demons were subjected to them in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said to them that, don't rejoice because of that. Rejoice because your names have been written in the book of life. So those things are important, but they're not as important as eternity. So we must prioritize eternity above all other things. Our vocation, you know, the things with our dreams, our aspirations. There's nothing wrong in those things. You know, but in the order of priority, eternity must come first. And that's why this man came for a self-assessment. Now, assessments are important because they tell us how we have done so far, our performance so far, you know, in the past, what we've done. It helps us. And then it helps us to see how we're doing now. And then the goal that has been set before us, what else do we need to do to attain that goal? So assessments are very important. Thank you, Pastor. You sent me a video this week about the founder of Infosys, a billionaire Indian man. 2-minute video. And they asked the man, they said, how can leaders grow? You know, it's good for leaders to have vision, but how can they really grow? And he said 2 things. One of them is that leaders should not cut off the feedback channel. In other words, we must ask for feedback from people if we want to grow. How am I doing? And the second thing that the man said is that when it comes to learning, we should set aside ego. In other words, you can learn from a young boy. We can learn from our children. We can learn from somebody who's just given his heart to Jesus yesterday. We can learn from anybody. So this man came to Jesus for a feedback. But then Jesus, I like his model. He He addressed one thing there. He called Jesus good teacher. And Jesus tried to pass a message to us that no one is good except God. I've spoken to people, and I've also been guilty of that, you know, when, you know, in our younger days, and people wanted us to, you know, become Christians, and you're trying to ask why. Oh, see, I said, look, I'm a good person. I don't kill. I've never handled a gun before, you know. We try to justify, which is, you know, what everyone does. But I looked at the scriptures, and three scriptures, about the goodness of God. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. So wherever you are hearing about the goodness of God, is attached to his faithful love that endures forever. Psalm 100 and the 5th verse says, for the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues. Psalm 136, the 1st verse says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. So the question I ask myself, because I like to ask myself, is that, am I good? The love that I display, is it unfailing? Does it endure forever? If it doesn't, then I'm not good. God is the only one that is good. However, because we are God's children, God continues to do wonders through us. And it's not impossible that someone will see something great that God is doing in your life or in my life. What Jesus was teaching us there as well is that we should learn not to take the glory, signpost them to God. Because it is God who has given us the enablement to do what we are doing. And then Jesus I saw that Jesus started to address the issues. But Jesus started from the basics. Obey the commandments. Jesus knew that at some point there will be challenges for the man. So he didn't start from the top, he started from the basics. What I learned is that Jesus will meet you wherever you are, but he will never lower the standards. Wherever you are, he will meet you there and is able to walk with you, but the standards will not be lowered. And then Jesus said to this man, and this is where it becomes a bit tough. I've been praying myself, honestly. I mean, I just thought they asked me to come and speak. But honestly, I've been very uncomfortable with this message. That's the truth. Very, very uncomfortable.
And Jesus addressed the issue. He says, go and sell all your possessions. After he had addressed the major issues, and the man said, oh yeah, I've done this for my youth. And Jesus said, there's one more thing. Go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. So the man took off. He took off big time. What about you? What about me? Something you've built for years. You haven't consulted the madam in the house. You haven't consulted the children. You just meet the good teacher somewhere. We must come to Jesus on his terms, and not on our own terms. It must always be on his terms. He didn't ask him to sell many. He said, sell all. All. Now let's look at the things that Jesus asked him to do. Sell all means sell all. I don't know how long it took him to get to where he was. But then Jesus is saying, do it with everything. But let's say, well, that's fine, He says, give it to the poor. Of course, not that you can't. Just kiss everything goodbye. If he's the rich now, then that's some kind of investment. It will come back. But the poor, they can't give you anything. It's gone. It's gone. So the man must have been reasoning that, if I give it to this councillor, this mayor, he will remember that at least I gave him something. But the poor, no way. So the more Jesus was speaking, the more it was becoming more difficult. Then he said to him, you will have treasure in heaven. The man must be thinking, I'm not in heaven yet. It's fine to have treasure in heaven, but we are here. What about this place? Because we are dealing with the now. And after he said all that, he says, then come and follow me. Follow him to do what? To be roaming the streets? Because look at it from the perspective of the ordinary man. Because Jesus was going from town to town. Follow him to do what? This is a businessman, I guess. So he didn't add up. Humanly speaking, he didn't add up. But what this man did not realize is that in Proverbs 19:17, it says that if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. God owes no man nothing.
What is God asking you to give up? What is he asking me to give up? Proverbs 28 verse 27 says that whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing. There is a human version of that, and there's the God's version. This is the version of God. That you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. What a privilege. I have never seen God owe any man. We owe him. God. You see, the world is like a retail outlet. Heaven, that is where they manufacture things. The world is like a retail outlet. Heaven, that's where they manufacture things. So when God was asking him or telling him that you will have treasure in heaven, what God was saying to that man is that, do you know what? If you can do what I've asked you to do, you have access to everything that heaven has to offer. There's a difference between anything and everything. Anything is subject to availability. Everything means everything. For instance, do you know where they sell human body parts? Does anyone know where? Human body parts? I don't know. But in heaven they have them there. So there are certain things that your possession cannot even get you here. Very limited. So Jesus was saying to this man, we want to fast track you so you can have access to everything. Jesus asked this man, he says, come and follow me. You see, what man is looking for is not even money. We think it's money. It's not money. It's direction. That's what we're looking for in life. Where do I go? What do I do? It's all those areas that's the problem. It's not the money. Because if you are directed properly, money will not be a problem. All these things will run after. It's direction that man is looking for. And the one who is called the way says, follow me. Ah! He declined. He declined. But then we see how the story begins to gather momentum again, and it begins to talk about God blessing and then adding persecution. And I looked at all this, the patriarchs and the matrix in the Bible that we read about. David to Daniel to Joseph to Job, all these guys, even to Esther. They were all people that faced persecution. I have a different take on persecution. Persecution makes us battle ready. David was running around, running away from Saul. But from the moment he became king, he didn't have time when he was running away from Saul to be looking at one woman from the window. Which time? He was in a dungeon somewhere, running away from this guy. But suddenly, comfort comes. Have you ever checked out the life of Judas? Jesus never reprimanded him. They knew he was stealing. They knew. But not once did Jesus say, that is, we read about Peter. You know, Peter was like, get the out of me, or whatever, when he was arguing with Jesus. There were times that he pulled them up. But with Judas, just left him. Just left him. The only time that he had discussions with him was when he was getting close. He says, that's what you want to do. Encouraging him again. The point I'm trying to bring out here is that when we are living a life and nothing is going on, there are no challenges, check it properly. Of course, there are self-inflicted ones that we bring upon ourselves. But either it's self-inflicted or not, this guy was just spending the money, he was doing all he was doing, and not a rebuke, nothing. I will share a story about a country. Let me warn you, it's not what you are thinking. So don't even think. Just listen. This country, they've enjoyed a boom in their economy for a long while. And they've had peace. But they've used their funds for so many things, you know, what God blessed them with. They're supposed to take care of their, you know, build infrastructures, you know, do stuff. Build hospitals, take care of their army, kit their army. One big man somewhere sits down on everything. They use the money to go and buy properties in all over the world. What was supposed to be used to build up and develop the country? But because nothing was happening, there was peace. No problems whatsoever. So they kept at it. In fact, I read, and I know I'm on air, so I'm very careful. I just read, not that I was there. You know, they have all these exercises where, you know, they want to test their military strength and not. And they got this warship. And I read that even that warship, they towed it there overnight. The ship wasn't functioning. Who is deceiving who? All the resource that they were supposed to use to kit up and develop the country. What they did not know. Not too long ago, just a small group of people gathered together and they began to terrorize the country. Oh, people said, oh, this one will not see the light of the day. Before you could say Jack Robinson, they had taken over some regions. Now I read that even the army is paying them monthly stipends so that they will not come and attack them. What kind of army is that? What kind of army is that? But the time that they were supposed to spend developing themselves, getting battle ready, because there was peace all that time, they took it for granted. Either for blessing or for persecution, we need to be ready. Because God is going to bless us. And even when we go through persecution, it's for our own advantage. Because out of that persecution comes God's blessing. But we have to be ready. This man came to Jesus, but he wasn't ready. The first R in the word ready stands for reliability. Either you are at the stage that God wants to bless you, or you are going through persecution. God expects us to be reliable. When it mattered the most, this man was found wanting. He was not willing to go all the way. He was not reliable. You see, you find out that in stores, they will bring out products, they will put it in the retail outlets, and then suddenly they are saying that they are recalling them back. Why? Because those products are not reliable. So when a man is not reliable, there is the danger that he can be recalled. The E stands for being efficient. It is one thing for you to work hard. It is another thing for us to work smart. You know, if you go around now, organizations talking about lean working, they want more for less. In God's economy, God expects us to be efficient. Jesus spoke to this man, said, you have worked hard. You have built this empire. Now, let it go, because we're going to fast track you so that you can have access to everything. No way. He wasn't efficient. You find out that there are some cars that they are doing now. They've eliminated some other models because they're not efficient. So when a man is not efficient, elimination can be the next thing. The third one for ready, which is A, is being available. No matter how reliable or how efficient we can be, if we are not available, it's no use. No matter how much that man wanted to hook up with Jesus, the bottom line is that he wasn't available. He couldn't go on that journey. Judas, at some point, wasn't available. And then they had to appoint somebody else. So when a man is not available in God's program, God can appoint somebody else. Either he's planning to bless you, or you're going through persecution, which will ultimately lead to God's blessing. When a man is not available, somebody else can be appointed in this place. The D stands for determination. You would agree that what Jesus was asking him to do was, it requires determination. It requires determination. I don't know what is before us this morning. I don't know what God is bringing to your own page and is asking you to do. And it's looking like a mountain. You need determination. Because without determination, it won't happen. Without determination, it will not happen. And I know that when a man is not determined, he begins to live in self-denial. He denies his responsibilities. He can even deny his faith. A man can deny his faith. It takes determination. This walk that we're walking with God, this walk that God wants us to walk, this blessing that God wants us to enter into, to require determination. This man was not determined. And initially he appeared like he was, but when they began to count all the things that he had to do, and then the Y stands for just being yourself. Just being yourself. He came to Jesus. There were demands that were made of him. Instead of him to connect with his Maker, he became unequally yoked with possessions of this world. David, when he was going to fight with Goliath, Saul gave him some things to wear, and he tried them on, and he said, "You know what? No. I just depend on what I know how to do best." God is asking us to be ourselves and come the way we are to him. Let's bow our heads. I just want us to speak to God this morning. What is God asking us to give up? And seems to be a challenge. Maybe we don't understand God's plan. And we will not always understand his plan. Why don't we speak to him today, "Lord, please help me. God's way is always the right way. It's always the best way. Ask him to help you." Ask God to help you that you are going to be ready. Be reliable by the help of the Holy Spirit. You will be efficient in your dealings with man and with God. That God will help us as an assembly to be available for him. Lord, I need determination. I need to be determined to finish well. Help me. Lord, we know you don't like hypocrites. I come the way I am to you, Lord. Change me. Transform me. Make me into who you want me to be. Oh yes, Lord, I have struggles, I have challenges. Oh, I cry to you today that, Lord, please help me. Lord, we have now been told that eternity is priority. Help me, oh God, that I will not be distracted. That I will finish strong and I will finish well. In Jesus' name I pray.